One, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, Ashley and I will bring you stories along with Brian Lynn. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, drug maker AstraZeneca has temporarily suspended its COVID-19 vaccine tests after an unexplained illness in a person who took the treatment. In a statement released Tuesday, the company said, "This is a routine action which has to happen whenever there is a potentially unexplained illness in one of the trials." The announcement came shortly after the drug maker joined 8 other companies in a promise to follow safety measures in vaccine development. AstraZeneca's vaccine candidate is being developed with the University of Oxford. It has been described by the World Health Organization as probably the world's leading vaccine candidate to fight COVID-19. On Wednesday, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, the WHO's chief scientist, said, "For drugs and vaccines which are given to people, you have to test their safety first and foremost." Late last month, AstraZeneca began looking for 30,000 volunteers in the United States for its large Phase 3 trials of the vaccine. It also is testing the vaccine in thousands of people in Britain and in smaller studies in Brazil and South Africa. 2 other COVID-19 vaccine candidates with large Phase 3 trials in the U.S. include one made by Moderna and the other by Pfizer and Germany's BioNTech. During Phase 3 trials, researchers look for any signs of possible side effects. The trials also judge effectiveness by studying who gets sick and who does not among patients taking part in them. People in one group get a real shot, and people in another group receive an inactive shot as part of the test. AstraZeneca pointed out that in large clinical trials, illnesses will happen by chance and must be independently reviewed. And the company said it is working to limit possible impact on the trial timeline. Dr. Anthony Fauci is the top infectious disease expert in the U.S. He told CBS News on Wednesday that it is not uncommon for vaccine makers to suspend trials. He added, "That's the reason why you have various phases of trials, to determine if, in fact, these candidates are safe." Dr. Ashish Jha, a researcher with Brown University, said on Twitter, "We have no idea whether this is a big deal or not. Science is hard. This is why we have to let the trials play out." He added that he was hopeful. "I remain optimistic we will have a vaccine found to be safe and effective in upcoming months." Britain's medical agency said it is reviewing the information to decide whether trials can restart as quickly as possible. The U.S. National Institutes of Health, which is providing financial support for AstraZeneca's trials, did not comment. The suspension of the trials followed reports that the United States was aiming for quick approval, possibly before the November 3rd presidential election. AstraZeneca has already agreed to supply nearly 3 billion doses to governments around the world. The New York Times reported that a volunteer in the Britain trial was found to have transverse myelitis. It is an inflammatory problem that affects the spinal cord and is often started by viral infections. The information came from an unidentified person with knowledge of the situation. AstraZeneca did not comment.
The Walt Disney Company is receiving criticism for filming part of its new live-action movie, Mulan, in the Xinjiang area of China. The Chinese government has been accused of human rights abuses against Uyghurs and other mostly Muslim minorities in the area. At the end of the film is a message thanking official communications departments in Xinjiang. It also thanked the Public Security Office of Turpan, a Uyghur-majority city in the region. Mulan was released last week on the streaming site Disney+. Human rights activists and China experts have expressed condemnation on social media sites. They say Disney behaved unethically to gain entrance to China's profitable movie market, the second largest in the world. Amnesty International tweeted a link to a media report on the issue and asked Disney, "Can you show us your human rights due diligence report?" A Washington Post opinion writer called the movie a scandal. A widely shared tweet suggested the Mulan film crew would have seen re-education camps for Uyghurs on their way to filming locations. Uyghurs and other minorities in China have been detained in camps as part of a government assimilation campaign. The Chinese government says it acted in answer to years of sometimes violent struggle against Chinese rule in the region. Chinese officials defend the camps as job training centers, but former detainees describe them as prison-like. They report beatings, denial of food, and other abuses. Some female detainees say they were forced to have medical treatments to end pregnancies or disable their reproductive ability. In recent months, detainees have been reportedly ordered to drink traditional Chinese medicine to fight the coronavirus spread. There is no so-called re-education camp in Xinjiang, Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian said Tuesday when asked about the Mulan issue. He said the training centers were a good exploration of anti-terrorism and de-radicalization methods. There have been no violent attacks in Xinjiang for more than 3 years, Zhao added. The Mulan team filmed in several other parts of China, including the cities of Xi'an and Dunhuang. Director Nikki Caro's social media messages showed. The movie was also partly filmed in New Zealand. Disney did not answer the Associated Press's request for comment.
Scientists say an experimental treatment helped mighty mice keep healthy muscle mass during a recent stay in space of 1 month. The treatment might one day prevent muscle and bone loss in astronauts during long periods in space. It could also be used to treat people suffering muscle or bone loss on Earth. Astronauts in space live in an environment of microgravity, or weightlessness. This environment can cause muscles and bones to weaken and lose mass over time. The U.S. space agency NASA has developed specialized exercise programs for astronauts living on the International Space Station. The goal of the exercises is to limit muscle and bone loss. But such programs are likely to be ineffective during very long space missions planned by NASA for the future, such as extended stays on the Moon or Mars. The Mighty Mice in Space experiment was created to test a possible preventive treatment for muscle and bone loss during long space missions. The project involved 40 female mice that were launched into space on a SpaceX rocket last December. The animals lived on the International Space Station for 33 days before returning to Earth in January. 16 mice were given the experimental treatment, which involved a genetic engineering method. Researchers removed a gene responsible for producing myostatin, a protein that controls and can limit the growth of muscles and bone. The mice that lacked the myostatin gene, the so-called mighty mice, showed muscle growth during the experiment. 8 of these mice had at least twice the muscle mass of the untreated mice before being sent to space. The researchers said during their stay on the space station, these mice kept their muscle mass. Their muscles appeared very similar to the other mighty mice kept back on Earth at NASA's Kennedy Space Center. The 24 mice that did not get the treatment lost a lot of muscle and bone mass in space, the researchers reported. Those mice lost between 8 and 18% of weight in individual muscles compared to the mice on Earth. They also lost up to 11% of bone mineral density, a measure of bone strength. 8 of the mice received another compound from astronauts on the space station. That compound has been found to block a protein that limits muscle and bone growth. The mice given this treatment in space gained 27% lean body weight compared to 18% in mice on the ground. The mice receiving the compound, both in space and on the ground, also had increases in bone mineral density, the researchers found. Some of the untreated mice were given the treatments after returning to Earth. They quickly built up more muscle than untreated mice in the laboratory, the researchers reported. The research was led by a team from the Jackson Laboratory, a nonprofit biomedical research center based in Bar Harbor, Maine. Results recently appeared in a study published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Jackson Laboratories' Dr. Seijin Lee was the lead writer of the study. He told the Associated Press the experiment identified additional molecules and signaling pathways relating to muscle and bone loss that could use more investigating. He said he would also like to send more mighty mice to the space station for additional study. Lee's wife, Emily Germaine Lee of Connecticut Children's Medical Center, also took part in the study. While excited by the findings, She told the AP, much more work is needed before the treatment can be tested on humans to build up muscle and bone. I'm Brian Lynn.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to The Making of a Nation, a program of American history for people learning English. I'm Steve Ember. On March 4th, 1801, Thomas Jefferson walked to the Capitol building in Washington. He was about to be inaugurated as the third president of the United States. He entered the Capitol to the thunder of cannon. All the senators and representatives stood until Jefferson sat down. A few moments later, the newly elected president rose and began to read his inaugural speech.
The most famous line in it is, "We are all Federalists, we are all Republicans." It was a statement about, after all of the bitter partisanship of the 1790s, as bitter as anything we see in America in the 2010s, Jefferson says he's going to create a kind of bipartisan presidency.
Historian Joseph Ellis is the author of many books about America's founders. He says Thomas Jefferson's speech was one of the best inaugural addresses in American history. Friends and fellow citizens, I have been called to the position of chief executive of our country. I must tell you how honored and thankful I am. But I must tell you, too, of my fears. Yes, I must tell you that the duties of your president are too much for any one man. However, I tell myself that I am not alone. When I see all your faces, I understand the wisdom of those who wrote our Constitution. For in you, the members of Congress, and in the judicial branch of our government, I know that I shall find the strength, the honesty, the courage that I shall need. We have passed through a hard year of bitter struggle between two political parties. We have shown the world that in America, all can speak, write, and think freely. The debate is over. The people have decided. Now is the time for all of us to unite for the good of all. The majority of the people have won the contest. But we must always remember that there is a minority. True, the majority must rule. But the rule of the majority must be just. The rights of the minority are equal to the rights of the majority and must be protected with equal laws. Let us unite with hearts and minds. Let us have peace and love in our relations with each other. For without peace and love, liberty and life are sad things indeed. Let us remember that the religious freedom which we have in the United States is nothing if we do not have political freedom. If we permit men to be punished because they do not agree with the majority. For hundreds of years in Europe, men have killed and have been killed in the name of liberty. It is not surprising, then, that even here, in our peaceful land, all cannot agree. But it is possible to have different ideas without forgetting our common wish. We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists. Most of us love our country. Most of us want it to grow. There may be among us those who want to end the Union of the States or to end our Republican government. Well then, let those men speak freely without fear. They are wrong, but America is strong enough to let them say what they wish. When men can think and speak freely, there is no danger to the nation. For those who do not agree with them also have the right to think and speak freely. There are some honest Americans who are afraid that a Republican government cannot be strong. But I ask these good men one question. Do they want us to destroy a government which has kept us strong and free for 10 years? I hope not. We have here in the United States the best and strongest government in the world. This is the only nation on the earth whose citizens know that the government belongs to them. Then there are some who say that men cannot govern themselves. What do they offer us instead? Government by kings? Are kings men or are they angels? I will let history answer this question. Let us keep our union and our government by the people through their elected representatives. We are very fortunate here in the New World. Three 3,000 miles of ocean separate us from the wars and the dictatorships of Europe. Here we do not suffer as the people of Europe do. Here we have a great and rich land, with room for 100, perhaps 1,000 generations of Americans yet to be born. We and the American children who will come after us all have equal rights. We honor a man not because of his father, but for what the man is. We do not care what religion a man follows. In this country, men practice religion in many ways. Yet all our religions teach honesty, truth, and the love of man. All worship one God who rules the universe, who wants men to be happy in life. Yes, we are a fortunate people. What more do we need to make us happy? We need one more thing, my fellow citizens, a wise government. A government that keeps men from injuring each other. A government that gives men freedom to live and work in peace as they wish, and does not take from them the fruit of their labor. That is good government. In my short speech, I cannot tell you all the things that I believe our government should do and should not do, but I will tell you what I believe to be the most important principles of our government. This is what I believe in. The same and equal justice to all men, no matter what their religion, their political beliefs, or their class. Peace, trade, and friendship with all nations, but alliances for war with no nations. Support of the rights of the state governments, which are the best defenders of our republic. A strong central government under the Constitution to protect our peace at home and our safety in other parts of the world. We must keep the right of the people to elect their representatives. This is the safe way to change governments that make mistakes. Without the right of election, we will have bloody revolution. In our election, the majority must rule. This is the lifeblood of a republic. If the majority is not allowed to rule, then we will have dictatorship. America should have a good volunteer army to protect us in peace and in the first days of war until we use professional soldiers. But at all times, the civil officers of the government must be first over the military officers. The rights of man will be of the highest importance in this government. Information, knowledge, and opinions must move easily and swiftly. We will support freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of the person protected by the habeas corpus, and the right to trial by juries that are chosen fairly. These are the freedoms that brought us through a revolution and that made this nation. Our wise men wrote these freedoms. Our heroes gave their lives for these freedoms. They are the stones on which our political philosophy must be built. If we make the mistake of forgetting them, let us return to them quickly, for only these rights of man can bring us peace, liberty, and safety. Well then, my fellow citizens, I go to the position which you have given me. I am no George Washington. I cannot ask you to believe in me as you did in the man who led us through our revolution, the man who will always be first in the love of our country. I ask only that you give me your support and your strength. I know that I shall make mistakes, and even when I am right, there will be men who will say that I am wrong. I ask you to forgive my mistakes, which I promise will at least be honest mistakes. And I ask you to support me when I am right against the attacks of those who are wrong. Always my purpose will be to strengthen the happiness and freedom of all Americans. Those who do not agree with me, as well as those who do. I need you. I go to my work as President of the United States, ready to leave that position when you and the American people decide that there is a better man for it. May the power that leads the universe tell us what is best and bring to you peace and happiness.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.